Teaching and Learning in a Post-COVID World, Critical Race Theory, Howard Zinn, Truth, Band? Yeah, there's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Welcome back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Truly tonight, educated educators talking education, Johnny, because we have Dr. David Stovall. We're talking about his piece in the Hechinger Report, using critical race theory to understand the backlash against it. You know, we've been having a great discussion, and thank you, Dr. Stovall, for staying over for one extra segment, because one of the to really talk about this, though, the framing of why so many people are hysterical has been this idea that critical race theory is a curriculum that's going to teach my son, my daughter, who are white kids in the suburbs, to be embarrassed about the past, to not like themselves, to even hate themselves. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from?
Well, this idea around really when you talk about race in a place that has excluded that discussion. I mean, the conversation around race in the United States is pathetic, right? I mean, it's still around assuming that when you talk about race, that you're accusing someone of being racist. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's not it. Right. We have to understand the social construction of race, the way people have been categorized, and then what ascriptions have been placed on that categorization. So this idea of really thinking about this is going to have your white child begin to hate themselves really comes from because we are so scared of having a conversation about race. We can only think about it in ways that are going to do harm to the folks who are learning about it, right? Mm-hmm. So that thing around, because the conversation is so funky and is so dismissive or dismissed, I should say, that when we enter it, everyone is fearful of the end result. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, Johnny, you know what, because I'm that teacher who's sitting there going like, I want to teach this and I'm really frightened that a kid is going to say I'm making them feel bad. But the reality is that, I mean, first of all, we already talked about this. Look, you know, when I started teaching in the early 90s, 1992, 500 year anniversary of Columbus, Rethinking Schools came out with some of the best curriculum over 30 years ago, where it's like, now you're telling me that I now cannot teach that, you know, Columbus did not discover America and that he did not end up in North America and that there wasn't a slave. Wait a minute. I thought that was done and settled. We were already talking about doing some, you know, Howard Zinn, and now this is against this. And you're going to say that I'm concerned that 35 years ago, my fifth graders that I taught might be going around now as adults feeling bad because they were in Tim Slecker's fifth grade history class. But that's the fear tactic of those drumming this up, though, mm-hmm. to get the support, right, David?
Yeah. I mean, this thing around critical inquiry is always thought about as this kind of socialist exercise, right? Mm-hmm. And this thing around critical inquiry is only preserved for certain folks. And back to your earlier question, it goes back to my colleague Subani, who also co-wrote with me. She always talks about what Cheryl Harris, who wrote this article, very famous article called Whiteness is Property. Mm-hmm. And this idea, two of the properties of whiteness that Cheryl Harris always notes is this right to exclusion and this right to enjoyment. So this idea of who will be included in what we say is real and historical. And then if those things impinge on my enjoyment, then I have the right to cancel them, mm-hmm. right? So this thing around really, so this particular moment is about folks saying, this is not allowing me to exclude, and it is infringing on my enjoyment. Mm. So now, because the world is rooted in white supremacy, anything that challenges that orthodoxy is now viewed as an impingement, right? So now we have to think about, okay, well, who has set those rules? And now who has been structurally and perpetually disadvantaged by those sets of rules. Hence our discussion of race and why it becomes so difficult to have that discussion.
Johnny, I'm just, again, back to you, man.
Well, I'm just so grateful that we're having this conversation, especially as our listeners, teachers and teacher educators and folks out in the community who have an interest in education, because that moves beyond just teachers and teacher educators, right? But hearing this conversation around being comfortable, being uncomfortable around addressing race, being comfortable, being uncomfortable around addressing the way patriarchy works in our communities, the way ableism is working on our communities, the ways these histories have set forth a particular way of life that advantages some at the cost of dignity and life for others. And you know, it's exciting to be in this moment. Keep coming back to it. Jesse Hagopian, right, gave us this language. It's the largest social uprising of our lifetimes, especially as teachers. And, you know, Dr. Stovall tonight reminds us this is the curricular moment of how we have these conversations and we begin to say, it's okay that I don't know these things, because the time is now to learn them and to come correct to the responsibility of being together in community, honoring diversity and dignity and human rights as we move forward. And so that's the kind of democracy I think we have a possibility as we liberate education from schooling, as we seize this critical moment and really collaborate. And so it's exciting to have Dr. Stovall here, his comments, and it inspires, I hope, conversations for our listeners.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that because I was meeting with some superintendents today. And that was, I asked them point blank, how are you going to deal with this moment as you're coming back into school when you know that somebody, and Dr. Silva, I think you agree because you say it's no longer existential, somebody will come forward and say they are uncomfortable because something happened in school. And that uncomfortability could literally be a mandated state curriculum that says, guess what? In the social studies standards in state X, we teach the triangle trade because we've established that that's part of an important, but now even that is something where you could get in trouble for teaching the curriculum that's already agreed that we have to teach. And that's where how do superintendents, and I heard somebody say, get that steel in their back to be able to be ready for this moment as it comes on us, Dr. Stovall?
Yeah, I mean, I think this thing around really saying the commitment here is to the historical record. The commitment here is to allowing young people to think and create. And if I trust the ability of young people to think and create, then I'm going to give them accurate information. Right? We can argue this information, but I'm not going to deny them this when I know that this is historically accurate. I'm not trying to influence them in ways that may harm other people. I'm not trying to indoctrinate them. I'm saying, look, there's some things that have been removed. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to start with the things that have been removed? Mm. And when we start there, the questions become different, right? Our inquiry actually pushes us into a different space. And that steel that you talked about, Tim, that folks have it in their back, you have to go to the State Board of Ed with that. You have, when those folks come down, whether it be Center for Individual Rights, whether it be Against Critical Race Theory, one of the organizations, whether it be another space, you have to be able to stand in front of those folks collectively. You know, don't go by yourself, but you got to get other people who are willing to engage that and say, look, y'all, what are we talking about here, right? Is this really about critical race theory that says we need to understand that the United States was founded on white supremacy? Or is this some other thing that we don't really know what it is, but we're scared of how power will respond to this, right? Mm. And that's the moment that we're in, right? So that steel in our back is saying, look, I'm here for young folks and their capacity to think and create, because many of my students are not trusted to think and create. So now one of the best tools to have folks think and create is to give them accurate information and to provide and to actually develop skills together to further interrogate that information. I mean, like that, you know, it's not a, you know, it's not this rocket science thing, right? It's literally around saying, if we're not able to ask questions, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know where we're going to go.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you just think
what
about
the end of that is.
Exactly. It's like I said, you know, we kind of made the promo coming into this to be a little bit more, you know, funny, but it's like, you know, it's an insanity. And I just think about how this is, what's being advocated is actually what's being advocated, what's being becoming law is actually what they're trying to, they think they're outlawing, but they're making laws to indoctrinate. And in fact, what you said, Dr. Silva, the stuff that's missing, we're going to make it illegal to bring in truth. We're going to make it illegal to bring in truths that weren't in the curriculum and to begin with. So teachers, if you're out there and you're thinking about this, and neighbors who live next door to teachers and you're thinking about this, ask this. That's what your job is. You're going to just be bringing in things that haven't been in the curriculum but should have been. You're not breaking the law by bringing in truths. You're bringing in information that students haven't had access to. And as a teacher, think about that. That's our job, is to provide students a path to new information that will allow them the opportunity then to discuss, think, and I love what you said. Johnny has said this before, create. I'll give you, you got like a minute here and then we're gonna let you go, Dr. Sobol.
Well, again, Johnny and Tim, thanks so much for having me. But I think this is the thing that we have to think about. We've been here before. Remember, it was illegal to teach people who were enslaved. Mm-hmm. If an enslaved person was found reading, they could have their tongue removed. So now, if we think about this particular moment, many of us are the descendants of people who have been in similar moments. So now, this uprising has only brought us to eminence, right? This idea around what will not be accepted. And because it won't be accepted, what are we willing to do?
Mm. It's Dr. David Stovall. He is professor in the Department of Black Studies, or the Department of Black Studies, Department of Criminology, Law and Justice, University of Illinois in Chicago. Check out the piece in the Hechinger Report, Using Critical Race Theory to Understand the Backlash Against It. Dr. Stovall, again, thank you for spending time with us tonight. Johnny, we get back, man. We got one. We're going to wrap this up and put it together. And Evan, I know you got some music. So everybody, hold tight. When we get back, Johnny and Tim will dish it up. Coming back, Busted Pencils, more after the break.